This show is a part of the Podnuts Network. Find more shows like this at www.podnuts.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
www.knighthwise.com.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you're a Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, or Chrome OS user, we have the tips and tricks you need to tune tech into your way of life and let that technology work for you instead of the other way around. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming show, I'll be your host on KW906 Cyber Zen. For more information and the show notes, go on over to the website www.nightwise.com, that's K-N-I-G-H-T-W-I-S-E.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about, and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to that feed and get all of the Nightwise.com content delivered to your podcatcher automatically, letting technology work for you. Hey guys and girls, great to be back behind the microphone. Great to be back doing an episode of Nightwise.com. Great to be in my studio where it's nice and dark. I have some mood lights on and a candle, and I've got myself a cup of tea, and it's really quiet in the house. So it's perfect to do a show, not only a show, but today's show, because we are going to talk about Cyber Zen. So don't think it's going to be one of those technical shows where I really get into the bits and bolts of some technical concept. No, today we are going to do a little bit more of a life hacking kind of show to take a look at how we use technology and how technology sometimes uses us and how we can prevent that from happening. Because we are mere humans in a digital whirlwind that is called everyday life. We have bits and bytes flying around, wireless networks, 3G connections, hyper-fast network cables, super-fast computers, hyper-connected fellow humans, video conferences, Snapchats, Facebook feeds, Twitter replies, and God knows what's going on. And we need to sometimes find a little bit of calm in between that torrent of progress that is waving around us. So that's what today's show is going to be about. A collection of interesting tips and thoughts and way I do things to stay sane and sometimes even calm in my digital lifestyle, and also to find ways that I can control my technology instead of the other way around. I know it sounds interesting, so work with me. Take a deep breath, and let's get into the meat of the matter.
Follow us on Twitter at Nightwise or at www.nightwise.com/Twitter.
One of the things you might wonder is, Nightwise, why this show? The Nightwise.com podcast is this hyper-connected, super-fast moving podcast that tunes tech into your way of life and lets technology work for you. So why are we going to talk about stuff like Cyber Zen? Zen is calm and actually kind of boring. So why? Well, yeah, that's a good question. What I want to talk about today is ways to tune technology in certain ways so that you can find your calm and your focus amidst of a hyper-connected world. Now, why do I do this? Well, it has been bothering me lately. As you know, I do a podcast, I write a blog, I have my own company, I am writing articles for the blog of that company, I have clients I work for, I have a full-time client I work for, I've got a lot going on. I work on different operating systems using different devices. I have friends all around the world who never seem to sleep when I sleep and are never awake when I'm awake, although there are always other friends awake when I'm awake. So I live in this over-connected, constant on directly communicating life, where my profession and my interests always have me looking towards what's new, what's going down, what's happening, and being able to react and respond to that immense flood of information right away. Sometimes it gets a little bit much. It does, surprisingly or not. Sometimes it is like there is not a moment of calm in my life, that there is constantly things that are going on or things that I need to check out, blogs I need to read, articles I need to read, podcasts at least to listen to, stuff I need to write, things I need to try, people I need to respond to, touch base with other people, post on this or that social network, keep track of that. Sometimes it is a bit much, and sometimes it feels like technology is really taking control of my life instead of the other way around. So that's why this show is about. A couple of years ago, I did an episode called Curating the Library of Your Mind. And if there are some episodes out there that we can call Nightwise.com classics that you have to listen to, this is probably one of them. Curating the Library of Your Mind is an episode that deals with how to cull and tweak and tune and stream the information flows in your life so that you get the highest quality of information that comes in through your ears. So that the information that you process is of the highest quality, is something that you can really do something with that adds value to your life. That was what that episode was all about, and that was filled with tricks on how I did that. So today I am in a process where I'm in a lifestyle where I constantly think about curating the library of my mind. I listen to podcasts when I go to work. I read blogs. I'm part of the whole geek lifestyle, and I constantly try to ask myself: is this what I'm reading, looking at, doing, processing, trying? Is this a valuable use of my time? Because there is a lot of crap out there that you can listen to. And sometimes I say, okay, this is something I would like to read or listen to, or this is something I would like to or read to or listen to, but it's actually just crap, so I'm not going to do it because I can probably spend my time better doing something else. I've got my information. I've got that kind of down like a force, like a good habit where I constantly trigger myself, is this worth it? Is this worth my time? Is this crap? Is this not making me happy? Is this not making me smarter? So I'll dump it. Or is this not making me relax sufficiently, if there's such a thing? So I'll dump it. So I thought, you know, I'm doing this with all of my information streams, but what about my communication streams? I mean, how much stuff is coming into my life and how is it directing my pace of life? How is it helping me find my focus or my peace, my zen, my creative zone? Or is it getting in the way? So that's what I started doing. I started looking around at all the information streams that I have and the way technology interacts with me and I interact with technology and the way it was helping me or distracting me from what was really important. You sometimes get so much information and impressions and stuff that you tend to lose track with yourself and with the world directly around you. Sometimes you start being lived by technology, and so the technology is really directing you. And that's not the way it's supposed to go. That's not the basic philosophy of Nightwise.com. Let technology work for you, not the other way around. Well, I was working for technology. I was responding to messages when they came in, and I was doing things, trying out things because they were new, and I was getting certain emotions and impressions because some sources told me that. So I thought, no, this is something that we have to start paying attention to. Hence, this episode. This is going to be a collection of how I have tweaked and tuned technology in my life to help me find my inner peace a little bit more without going all floaty on you. I'm not wearing sandals. I'm still sitting on a chair. I'm not floating 5 inches off the ground. And I'm not going to tell you to connect to your inner lion. Please. This is Nightwise.com, not floaty world. But it is important that we as geeks, as hyper-connected cyber citizens, remind ourselves that we are human. That we are like Neo. We pull the plug and we step out of the matrix from time to time. I know the clothes on the Nebuchadnezzar aren't as cool as the big black leather jacket Neo was wearing in the Matrix, but, you know, the Matrix wasn't real. And Trinity and the Nebuchadnezzar and the real world was real. So from time to time, we have to remember that when we unplug, there's also a real world on the edge of real and cyberspace, although it's not perhaps really important. No, it is. It is. So let me start out by giving you a couple of practical examples of what I've been doing lately. I've been tuning and tweaking stuff and how it works for me. It actually all started last summer when Niana and me were spending more and more time outdoors. That's what we usually do. We have a little porch at the back of her house. It's aimed towards the south so we can get to sit in the sun pretty late in the evening. And during summertime, we mostly spend a lot more time outside if the weather permits it. And we always noticed that our amount of watching television really dropped down during the summer months. And we didn't really miss it. So this summer, I was thinking about the fact that how much TV do we actually still watch? Because I've made a couple of backups of the DVD series that we bought, and we have a Netflix account. And from time to time, we would just watch TV shows that interested us, or I would watch something on YouTube. And the mainstream television was something that we really didn't use that much when we paid attention to it. A lot of the times when we watch TV was out of habit. You come home and you have dinner mostly in front of the television. There's nothing on, but because you're having dinner in front of the TV or you want to have some noise in the room, you just put on the TV and you watch TV. And you zap around all of these channels until you find something that, you know, you're moderately, or that doesn't annoy you enough to zap away because you're not really triggered by it. But more and more, we were starting to not get what we wanted out of regular TV. Regular TV was annoying us. It made us feel stupid. It made me feel insulted that people thought that I was this stupid, that I would believe this crap. There was nothing on that really interested me. And there were so many sources of information on the internet that I was used to listening to that I thought to myself, why are we actually still watching this? Because already I was used to listening to podcasts instead of radio because that's a topic that interests me. You know, the whole curating the library of your mind thing. And linear television was something that was completely the opposite of my curating the library of your mind philosophy. But hey, we had TV, we had cable. Everybody has cable. Everybody watches TV when they get home. Don't they? Well, we thought about it, and just to do a little experiment, I unplugged our cable box for a week. And the only thing we did was we watched something, when we wanted to watch something, either a TV show that we had backed up on our media center or something on YouTube, we would watch it, and when we were done watching it, we'd go do something else. So we changed the way we watched television. Television did not control us, did not put us in front of it and had us watch the screen, finding something that interested us and just spending our nights that way because that is how you're supposed to spend your evening. No, we decided to watch something on TV and then we would turn the TV off again. After 2 weeks, we still didn't miss our cable box and our cable TV. After 3 weeks, we started to wonder, why do we still pay a subscription? And after 4 weeks, I went to the store and I gave them our cable decoder and I said, here you go. And I canceled our cable subscription. We were officially cable cutters. The alternatives that we had was Netflix, and we don't have a lot of movies on Netflix, mind you. The TV shows that we had backed up on our NAS, and like Battlestar Galactica, and all the DVD boxes that we put on our NAS, and YouTube, and some BBC iPlayer, which we approached via a VPN. And guess what? It worked. We were entertained. So we came home and we had dinner and we talked to each other. We have dinner not in front of the television. No, we have dinner at the kitchen table and we talk to each other. And then we would go and do our thing. I would geek out a little bit or read, or we put on some music, or Niana would do some knitting or some surfing on the internet. And come 8 o'clock, 8:30, we would say, okay, let's watch a show or a series that we're watching on Netflix on our or on the NAS. And we put on one, maybe two episodes. And at 9:30, we would very calmly go up to bed and read a little bit and then turn in. And it was completely different to the way we would spend our evenings before. Basically, sitting behind the computer in front of the television with the television just spewing crap, we not really paying attention, and complaining about the fact that there were too many commercials, too much fear-mongering, and that we were treated like dumb Oompa Loompas. And Oompa Loompas aren't dumb. We were treated like packlets. There, Star Trek reference for you. So, we threw out our television, our cable TV, and guess what? Almost instantly, things became a lot more calmer here. There are times in this house where we don't have the radio on. I'll get into radio a little bit later on. And when it's just quiet and you can hear the clock tick. And that's really, really cool. We're cool with that. We're on the internet or we're reading or we're doing something else. But the television doesn't have to be on. It will be, it's our screen. It will display the entertainment that we choose when we choose it. But we didn't, have TV anymore. And it was really, really cool. So one of the things that we noticed is that television or cable television, linear television, pushes a lot of drama in your life, a lot of noise. So we started to wonder, how about radio? So we got rid of our radio and I got a Spotify account and now we listen to what we want to listen to. And that actually, works pretty well. There is something that is different. You have to choose what you want to listen to. You have to curate whatever you want to be entertained with. And sometimes there are, like on Spotify, playlists that people have selected and that we listen to, but most of the times we go looking out for new artists or artists that we know. And in the beginning, it's hard because when you want to listen to something, you have to choose instead of just putting on the radio and listening to whatever. And when you want to watch a TV show or something on TV, you'll have to choose what you want to watch. There are many things that you can choose from and you have to select something. It's not like you put it on and it's on and you'll just have to watch it and enjoy it. No, you'll have to choose. So every stream of information is a conscious choice. That takes some getting used to. It's an effort, especially in the beginning. But at the end, you do notice that you don't have to program 8 hours of radio every day or 12 hours of radio. You don't. When you don't want to listen to the radio or you're done listening to that playlist, it's okay when it's quiet in the house. When you're done watching your TV show, it's okay to switch off the television. And this is weird in the beginning where you watch a show and normally the telly's on until just before you go to bed. Because when we put the telly out, we turn off the television, the dogs get up and they know, okay, we have to go pee pee and then we go to bed. So in the beginning, at like 9, we stopped, our show was done and we would turn off the television. And the dogs were confused. They were like, are we going to bed yet? No, it's only 9 o'clock. We're going to read something and talk to each other. And so you don't watch television until you go to bed. And the amount of relaxation that you get from there, the calm in the house is surprising. I would experiment with it if you want to. So I thought, okay, this works with media. We are starting to control the way media is kind of making us feel and making us behave. So can I do the same thing with technology, my cyber technology? So I decided to give that a try as well. Could I cyber zen my cyber tech?
Find our friends on Facebook.com over at www.nightwise.com/Facebook.
Linear entertainment is something that sets a certain pace in your life and that kind of tells you how to live. TV tells you how to spend your evening. Radio tells you what to feel and what to think. It might sound paranoid, but I would strongly suggest listening to 8 hours of daytime radio versus listening to 8 hours of classical music that you selected yourself, and tell me how you feel at the end of the day. Really, give it a try. You'd be surprised. So I was wondering, how about those, you know, devices that I have, the tablets and the smartphones and the laptops, are they also telling me how to kind of, you know, work for them? So just think about it. We have, in this day and age, all of our devices are connected. You know, I just got the pinnacle of connection, the Chromebook, you know, everything's connected. My phone's connected, my Chromebook's connected, my tablet's connected, my laptop's connected, my NAS is connected, my house is connected. My car is connected. Well, not indirectly. You know, everything's connected. So do we really need to have this? I mean, you know, when you have everything connected, you store everything in the cloud. And when everything's in the cloud, well, you have to be connected. Who can still do something with a computer that's unplugged? Does that still exist? Does a computer that doesn't have a connection still mean anything? That's a good question. So all of these devices that are connected to a cloud, and I'm looking at my laptop, my tablet, and my phone, and my smartwatch, they're all connected to these communicational networks, like, for example, Facebook. And then you get what is called a ping wave. And a ping wave is when you get a notification on a social network or by a communications channel like IM or email or whatever, and it propagates over your different devices. And the ping wave used to go like a Facebook ping would be like ping on my phone, ping on my tablet, and ping a pop-up on my Facebook page, and, you know, on the tab in Chrome. And then, of course, the Mac Notification Center would slide it in as well, you know, ta-da. And it would be like, you know, second cousin Vinny saying, hey, what's up? And then I thought, wow, look at this. I'm getting distracted on a plethora of devices across a plethora of possible workflows that I might be in the middle of. I might be sleeping with my phone right next to me. I might be in a call. I might be reading on my tablet. I might be just doing something really important on my laptop. But no, second cousin Vinny saying hi is something that propagates across all of my devices. It's like a distraction wave. And then I thought, do we really need that? Because these distractions are endless. You know, every application wants to send you notifications. And that is bizarre, because these notifications tell you when you will be interrupted and when you will be trained or triggered by society / yourself / the technology to respond to that notification straight away. And these notifications have no hierarchy whatsoever, because second cousin Vinny going like, hey, what's up, is ding. And a spam email from some site that wants to sell me genitalial enlargement and that comes into my mailbox also goes ping. And my beloved wife sending me a text that says, I love you more than the sun itself, like you do me, also gets a ping. Now, there is a certain hierarchy in these three things. Some things are important, some things are not, yet all of them get a ping. Why? Why is that? Why do we tolerate that? It is not only inefficient, it is also very disruptive to your way of life, because you know that when you hear ding, you're curious. You want to watch. You know, you want to see what's it. What's the ding? I have to check the ding. And you have to check the ding because you don't know if the ding's important or not, because all the dings are the same level. The ding of, hey, baby, I just my car just broke down and it's on fire and I'm on the freeway. Please come and get me is ding. And the one that says, hey, buy this great product in website XYZ in a country that you can never reach is also ding. And you don't know which is it. Is it ding important or ding? It's ding. Ding is, I have to check ding. And ding actually, you know, tells you how to live. It determines your pace of life. I have to check the dings. I don't get up in the morning and check my dings. You go like, oh my God, I have to get up in the morning and check my email. No, email is a part of your communication. You have to live your life and email is there to support it. If your goal in life is to get up and check your email, you either have no life or you really need to work on your priorities. Because these are all technological tools that will help us lead meaningful and happy lives. I am not a drone trained to respond to dings. I am not Pavlov's dog. Yet, we are in this society where certainly we have to be. And there is not one application sending out dings. There are many applications sending out dings. And these many applications sending out dings are connected to many people across the world sending the dings. And the people across the world don't sleep when you sleep, or sleep when you sleep, or are awake when you are asleep, and vice versa. In other words, everybody is awake all the time and everybody is sending out dings constantly. It's not what what the whole technology thing is all about. It was there to bring us closer together, to help us lead meaningful lives, not to constantly interrupt the frack out of each other. I can get very annoyed at that. It's not very zen, I know, but hey, ding, come on. So the other thing that you get is when you don't get a ding, because you're so trained to go after a ding. Oh, what if there's no ding? There's no ding. Uh-oh. I think the ding machine's broken. Perhaps nobody wants to send me dings anymore. The more dings I get, the more important I am. I'm more loved. I have to get dings and likes and ups and pluses. And there's no ding. Oh my God, I'm missing out. Let me check the machine that makes the dings if there are any new dings that I probably missed. And suddenly you're becoming this rat that goes to not only to check the ding machine on command, but because you don't want to miss out, you're going to check the ding machine if it doesn't ding. This is bizarre. Why are we doing this? I mean, if you really think about it philosophically, our machines are already running us. I mean, Skynet might not be self-aware, but boy, are we working for the Terminators. I know it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but think about it. We're already working for the machines. Machine say ding, we go check. Machine don't say ding, we go check as well. This is not the life that we want to lead, or is it? So, aside from throwing myself off a cliff and screaming out how bizarre it all is, because I'm a sane person, I don't do that. I said, you know what? I am going to separate out all my dings. So I've begun to separate out my devices. I have a communication device, and that communication device is my phone. It's my smartphone. My smartphone is used for communication, and I get my phone calls on it. I get my mails on it. I have my social networks on it, and basically it's my communication device. It's important because I run my company from it. And the messages that come in depend, and the notifications that they make depend on their urgency. So let me start by giving you my phone. My phone has my phone number. I get clients that call me. That's important. I have the email account for my company. That's important. So when the phone rings, it doesn't ring a lot. It can ring. It's important. It can ring pretty loud. ring, ring, when it rings. Then I got the emails for my company. These are important. These help me make money. So those get a ding. I enable the notifications for them. Then I have LinkedIn. LinkedIn is also for my company, but kind of spammy. So they don't get a ding, but it's on there. Then I have my calendar. My calendar tells me what to do. That is very important. My calendar helps me make money, be on time, and organize my life. If my calendar wants to tell me something, it gets a ding. I've got Facebook on there because, you know, it's like Wendy's. You don't like Wendy's, but you go there because everybody's there. And you used to like everybody, and even that's changing, but hell, you have Facebook. Facebook is not a life-changing application for me. If there's somebody who likes a post or tells me something or mentions me or sends me a message, they don't get a ding. They don't even get a notification. I'll check Facebook when I bloody want to, and I'll see if there are any notifications. Google Plus, I love you geeks on Google Plus to death, you don't get a ding when you send me a plus or whatever. I will check you when I want to check you. Twitter, no ding. No ding at all. Twitter will show me any new tweets or replies that I get on the company account, but for the rest, I'll check them when I'll check them. No ding. Instagram, no ding whatsoever. I'll check Instagram when I want to see pictures of people making duck faces or photographing their dog, or I want to share something with the world on my terms. So you see that my phone already has not only the lines of communications are kind of, you know, restricted, but also the dings that they get to make is based on a certain hierarchy. Okay, that's good. If you want to call me in the middle of the night, do you get a ding? No, you don't. Because when I come home, my phone, I put it in the kitchen and it just sits there, it charges. I take off my smartwatch, I put it alongside with it, I leave my communications on the kitchen counter where it's charging. Until 10 in the evening, everybody that is, you know, in the you get a ding list gets a ding. At 10 o'clock, the thing goes into do not disturb mode and nobody gets a ding except for my family and my wife who are on a VIP list, and they have a different ringtone. Ah, even in the dings, there are classes because I gave the people that are really important different ringtones. So when my wife calls, it gets a different ringtone. Or when my mom-in-law calls, it's a different ringtone. Or when my family calls, it's a different ringtone. I immediately know that not only they get a ding, I know what ding it is. So if there's a ding, you know, it's a phone call. The phone rings, okay. But it's 9 o'clock in the evening, or it's 9:30 in the evening, and it's the general number, might not be very important, or it's a family, a priority ringtone. Then I know, okay, I gotta get this. But for the rest, yeah, even there, I direct what I want to, what kind of notifications that I want to get. And now my phone works for me. It goes on quiet after 10. It wakes me up in the morning and it doesn't ding me every 5 seconds. I can sit with you through dinner and my phone will not ding unless it's really important. And when I'm at dinner with you, I will put it on silent. I will get a short notification on my smartwatch. And if I want to, I'll check it. Even there, I'm a little bit discreet because my dings do not only interrupt my life, they also interrupt the interactions that you have with me. Try having an intimate conversation. I think that you are more beautiful than life. Ding! Oh, Facebook. Whoa! That's not the way it goes, people. That's not the way how you spend your life. Because, oh my God, look at that. Auntie Jenny just played Candy Crush. Is that important? Really? You missed the sunset. And by the way, the romantic moment is gone. So, dings are something that do not control you. You must master the dings. Next up, my tablet. I have a tablet. My tablet does not have email, does not have social media, or does not have instant messaging. I just don't have it on there. I do have a calendar on there, and my tablet has some online content that I can stream, and it has offline content. I put on some TV shows and some books that I can watch. My content is geared towards uninterrupted consumption of content. That sounds so great, but I don't know what I like the most about that sentence, the uninterrupted or the consumption of content. This device is geared toward the uninterrupted consumption of content. This basically means that I'm going to watch my little TV show on my tablet and leave me the hell alone. Or I'm going to listen to this track on my tablet and leave me alone. Or I'm going to watch this documentary on YouTube and leave me alone. Or I'm going to play this game on my tablet and leave me alone. If you want to communicate with me, there's my communicator. You communicate with Kirk through the communicator, not with the tricorder. The tricorder is for tricorder things. The communicator is for communicator things. It would be hilarious if Kirk got a call from the ship and he would flip open his tricorder and his communicator would beep as well. And he'd go like, for the tricorder and beep for the communicator. It doesn't work like that. And Star Trek is always right. So on my tablet, no interruptions. I just, listen to music, listen to podcasts, I watch stuff, I take my classes there, I have PDFs there, all content consumption stuff, and even content creation stuff. If I want to type something, I can type on it, I can hook up a keyboard, but nothing that has to do with communication. My tablet is a little bit of my zone of peace where I can mellow out and be entertained, or be creative, or whatever I want to. When I really want to be creative, I go towards a computer. It is ergonomically the best choice that you can make, because you can try to write a novel on a phone, go right ahead. Or you can try to run Office on your tablet and do a PowerPoint there, go right ahead. Or you can just use the freaking tools that were freaking designed to do it. And sometimes those are just your laptop or your computer. This is A for my back, because when you do a lot of work on your tablet, you're going to end up like looking like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, because it's not good for your posture, it's not good for your back. If you want to create something and you want to do it in a relaxed manner and you still want to walk upright when you're 45, get a good chair, get a screen, get a desktop or a laptop, and just work on the devices that are designed to do it. It's better for your posture, and you are, guess what, more productive, because you can actually type on a keyboard. I have two laptops. One of them is, well, I have several laptops, but my main laptop is my MacBook Pro. I use it for the company, for work. I use it for the podcast. I use it at home. It's connected to an external screen. It's connected to the internet, to the network. And that's my real work station. When I open it up and I start using it, my mind recognizes the device and it says, ah, this is the work machine. We have to work here. We have to focus. And then I've got a smaller laptop, which is in this case my Chromebook, that I take on the road with me. On my work laptop, I have, or my production laptop, I have two profiles. One standard that has all my applications and also has, I can do social media on them. I can do Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus on them. I don't have a chat client on them, however, which is very important. I don't do that anymore, chat clients. If I close Facebook, I don't want to be bothered anymore. If I close Google Plus or Gmail, I don't want to get bothered anymore. I mean, the chat isn't always there. Those were the days of MSN Messenger, and even MSN Messenger is dead. My IMs don't dictate when I will be interrupted when I'm doing something creative. I need to focus, because when I'm done doing what I need to do, I can walk away and go do something else, because I control my technology and not the other way around. So even on my production machine, I have two profiles. One is a standard profile with email, social media, and all the communicational ding-dong. And one is an offline profile. It's a different user with a minimum amount of applications that are available. So it's like really minimalistic. It's like my browser, Focusrite, and basically that's it. It's a real... And my presenting software, my Keynote. And I also use that profile when I go towards a client, to a client, and when I want to present something, so I don't get a calendar pop-up halfway through the presentation, or Cousin Vinny going like, hey, what's up? Going on, you know, showing up on the screen and embarrassing me. No. That's a different profile. And you trick your mind by doing this, my offline profile, you know, with the maximum focus, has a very non-geeky wallpaper, doesn't have a lot of icons up at the top, doesn't have a lot of icons up at the bottom. It's very zen. It's very geared towards just doing what you need to do. It's very boring, but boring is good. So don't try to help yourself not to get distracted. I mean, you can get distracted by dings, but you can also get distracted by, oh, it just quickly want to check 9GAG, or quickly want to do this, or quickly want to do that. No, you don't have to. You don't have to do that at all. You determine what you want to do with your technology. And then I have, I had a different program, a different profile that had a steady IP assigned to it, a user profile that had a steady IP assigned to it, with the default gateway pointing towards the wrong router. So I didn't have internet. I don't really use that anymore. I just turn off my Wi-Fi. I trained myself to be bold enough to say, you know, I'm just going to turn off my Wi-Fi. That's it. I don't want to be interrupted. It's also something that we've come so used to. When your computer has to be connected, you come in, you know, I'm not going to Auntie Vinny, to Auntie Magda, because Auntie Magda has... doesn't have Wi-Fi, so we don't go there. Why does your laptop have to be connected? I mean, you can do things on your laptop when it's not connected. I mean, you have to kind of tune your workflows and not work in the cloud, but it your laptop, when you're, even if you have a Chromebook, you can do things offline, and sometimes it's even better if you need focus. So why does it always have to be connected? So just like, you know, turning off the TV, I sometimes turn off my Wi-Fi signal. And I don't get interrupted. It's amazing. Technology and the human factor about being able to have free will and being able to disconnect your connection. So that's how I use my phone, my tablet, and my laptop. But there's also one other thing that you have to cyber zen, and that is yourself. The great thing about being human is that you have free will. You have the will to choose A or B, and you can choose. And the great thing about being able to choose is that sometimes you make bad choices, and you are free to make bad choices, hence sometimes you're your own worst enemy. So you also have to cyber zen yourself. One of the things that I started wondering was, why do I watch TV? Well, because everybody watches TV. Well, is that good enough? Well, actually, it's not. So I disconnected myself from regular TV, and I guess what? I'm really happy with it. And we thought that after a couple of months, we might miss it. But we are starting to wonder in this house that we don't want to go back. We're fine. So I asked myself, I am this hyper-connected cyber geek. How hyper-connected do I actually have to be? Do I have to be reachable all the time by everybody for everything? Or can I actually, you know, prioritize and tweak and tune and make that technology work in a way that I want it to work, instead of being online always on the all the time for everybody and everything? So does everybody need to reach me instantly? Do they need to reach me instantly on every device? Do they have to do that 24 hours a day? And so based on that questions, I already set up the whole setup rules on my phone and on my tablet and on my computer. And one of the things that I started to see was that, you know, we let devices And information streams interrupt us because we think they are important. And that's not always true. And then comes the fear of missing out. You know, what if I disconnect? What am I going to miss? Well, guess what? I disconnected from cable television. The world didn't end and I missed it. So I'm fine. I'm good. It took me a little bit of getting used to. So do you have to be on Facebook all the time? Does Facebook Messenger need to be connected all the time? Really? I mean, will it kill you if you miss a text or an interruption? Will it kill you if you don't check Facebook all the time? So there are certain things that we've trained ourselves to do, or that these social networks have trained us to do. I mean, you have to take a look at this. You have to do this. You have to do that. And the question that you have to ask yourself, the only one that you have to ask yourself, is, do I really have to? Because the answer is probably going to be no. The amount of information that you need to process is a lot less than the information that you think you need to process. You don't have to see every movie on Facebook. You don't have to see every update on Google Plus. You don't have to catch every Twitter reply. The world doesn't end. I don't want to burst your bubble, but 95% of the communication and information that goes on social networks is total and utter crap. So you don't have to do that. You can sit down and read a book and perhaps you'll learn something. I don't know. It's not linear crap like television or social media. It's something that you choose to consume. And it's not the mainstream, everybody's doing this thing, but it's your choice. And it's scary in the beginning, but it does, you know, you get used to it. So on my other things that I started to think about is, do I have to try everything? Because I listen to a lot of podcasts, I read a lot of blogs and stuff, and there's always this one thing that you have to try. You know, there's new Linux distro, or this new gadget, or this new stuff on the Raspberry Pi, or this or that. And, you know, oh my God, they talked about a new Linux distro, now I have to try it, and now I have to do this, now I have to do that. You don't have to do anything. It doesn't matter if you don't have the latest thing or if that you try out everything that everybody is talking about. You don't have to run with every crowd. That is something that I've also learned. I got the comment a couple of weeks ago, yeah, you're always on Ubuntu and you're always on Debian and you never try RPM distros. And I went like, yeah, but is there a nagging urge in my life that says you want to try an RPM distro? No, I want to try a Debian distro because that's how I know how to install stuff on there, and I know stuff where it is, and I can probably learn to work with an RPM distro and it will probably look better, but I don't know if the investment of my time in learning this skill or trying this new thing is going to be actually worth it. Sometimes it is. You know, I played for 3 weeks with my Raspberry Pi so I could play Commodore 64 games. I could do this because it is something that you could do on the Raspberry Pi, or I could do this because it is something I would like to do on the Raspberry Pi. After 2.5 weeks, I thought, I am putting way too much time into this compared to what I'm going to get out of it. After a couple of days, I got it working, and I got a lot of retro fun out of my Raspberry Pi, so it's totally worth it. But that's not always the case with every new thing. You don't have to try out every new network, every new social network, every new instant messaging service, every new app, every new platform, every new device. You actually don't need to. It's sometimes more relaxing for yourself if you stop chasing the greatest, latest thing, both with your wallet and with your time, and just taking a look at, hey, what do I really need? And it's okay to hang back a little bit. So those are the things that, you know, I've been going through my mind. And I set myself a couple of rules. I said that not every app and service deserves my attention, both in notifications and in time invested in it and consuming it or researching it. Push notifications are off by default. That's a given. I only enable notifications when I want it to. I've stopped checking my personal emails on intervals when they arrive. I only do this with company emails that I use to make a living from, and from with, you know, with communications from people I really think are important. I just check Facebook when I want to check Facebook. I try to keep track of what I want to know and what I have to know. Do I want to know all of this, you know, stuff that they have on this blog, or do I really need to know it? And how does it make me feel? And based on that, I don't follow a blog or a podcast or an episode or content because I am addicted to it or I am subscribed to it. I will, nevertheless, if I'm a fan or if I have a tradition with it, I will evaluate the content every single time. If it's not up to specs, I'll drop it. I'll drop a book halfway through. Hell, I dropped a book 80% through on my Kobo reader yesterday because it didn't interest me anymore and it was a waste of my time, I thought. So I also started using some you know, culled down some information streams by using RSS feeds instead of going to the website. I unsubscribed from all the email newsletters that I got. I installed ad blockers, so that kind of got a lot of ads out of my way. I didn't get distracted by those anymore. I started calling people. If there are people in my Facebook feed or in my Google Plus feed or basically in my life that don't add any value and just annoy me, you're out. If you're on my social networks and all you do is play Candy Crush, you're out. If you only rehash stories that have absolutely no added value, you're out. And if you do something that annoys me, you're out. I love you to bits, but I don't want to see your crap. You're out. That is very, very satisfying to do. And that all goes back to the curating the library of your mind, of course. The things that I'm also doing is I remove websites from my bookmarks that I'm reading in RSS so I don't get duplicate information streams. I have, for example, I had Lifehacker in my Facebook feed and I had Lifehacker on RSS, so I got all everything and I had them on Twitter. So I decided, you know, I'll just see where I want to have you, and I put all of my interesting websites in my RSS. So I remove them from Twitter, remove them from my social media, and I don't go to the website anymore. So that way I just I track a certain source in one place and not across certain platforms. If I'm following you on Instagram and you're cross-posting to Facebook, you're probably gonna, you know, I'll just kick you out of Instagram. Not because I don't love you, but because I've already seen your crap. So that is something that you can really, you know, start doing. Also in my mailbox, I started removing newsletters. I made different email accounts for subscriptions and news, so they're not in my primary mailbox. And I just got a personal mailbox that isn't my name, that isn't Nightwise, and that I use for certain really important communications. So I don't, it's not that I can't throw information away when it doesn't interest me. I want to go to the point where it doesn't even arrive when it doesn't interest me. And that is important. You can't try everything. That's also a really important one. You don't have to digitalize everything. Not everything needs to have an app. It's okay to still write down stuff. It might be shocking, but it's true. In the morning, I also take my time before I connect. I go sit on the couch and have a cup of coffee in the dark with my ebook reader, and I write and I read a non-technological book. When I am at lunch, I take a walk with my headphones on and some music. When I'm bored, I don't take out my phone. I try to train myself to play the Sherlock game when I'm bored. You know, you're waiting somewhere and your instinct is to go to Facebook or to Instagram or Google Plus. You know, there's your phone there. And then I go like, no, let's play games. So I just put down my phone and I observe things around me. And then I close my eyes and I reiterate what I saw. And then I reopen my eyes and then I check. And it's a great, game to be aware of your surroundings. It's not digital, it's not geeky, but hell, it's Sherlock style. I mean, you get to see how good would I be as if I were Sherlock. So take the guy sitting across from you at the bus, take a quick glance at him, close your eyes, try to recap what kind of shoes is he wearing, what kind of socks is he wearing, how does he look, what is it, on what hand is it, does he have his briefcase? And just when you're done, open your eyes and check. And do it a couple of times and you see yourself get better. It's really, really fun. And it's not technologically connected, which is, to geeks like us, completely bizarre. But it works. Coffee's good. Don't drink coffee out of habit. Drink some tea. It's better. And, you know, try from time to time doing some things really slow, really meticulous. One of the things I train myself, and these are, we're going floaty-floaty, I know, but these are basically mindfulness techniques. One of the things I do is when I make tea, because I try to make tea more than coffee, I do it really slowly and really meticulously. I just put the cup down and make sure that the cup's right. And then I boil the water and then I pour the water in without letting the carafe touch the glass. You know, I just pour it in very slowly. And then I just put in my tea bag very slowly. And it's not because I want to have it perfect. No, it's because I'm really thinking about what I'm doing at that moment. And it really grounds you in the moment. Because those are the things that are so, so risky in a hyper-connected world that we live in. Is that sometimes you spend your evenings doing 100,000 different things. And in the end, you don't know what you did all day long. And you don't actually notice that the world around you, and that's the world that's really important. And 90% of the signal to noise ratio on social networks, on information flows, on communications, 80% of it's crap and 20% of it has value. So try to filter out as much as you can. So I tried it for a couple of weeks. And I'll give you the end result.
Circle us in Google Plus over at www.nightwise.com/Google+. All one word.
So, the net result of trying to cyber zen yourself. I've been playing around with it, trying it, and I must say, it works. At home, we don't have a radio anymore. We choose to listen to our own music based on our mood, or sometimes we let the music kind of determine what our mood's going to be like. And we listen to a lot of calm music. But from time to time, you know, you need to put on something that's upbeat because otherwise it gets gloomy. We don't have a paper newspaper, no way. And we read the newspaper online and we select the sources that we want to read. And mostly I'll try to read it by using RSS. I objectively try to stay away from, you know, sensationalism and fear-mongering. I really try to do that. I know it's something that really triggers you. You know, oh, check this out and check that out. I just don't do it. And especially link bait sites, you know, this cat walks across the street and you'll never know what happened. Well, I'll never know what happens. This kid goes to there, click to see what happens. No, I won't click to see what happens. If you want to force me to do something, I won't. If you can't tell me in the topic, forget it. And you would be surprised how much of these link bait titles have absolutely crap content behind them. So I say, okay, that's something I don't do anymore. We don't have cable TV anymore, so we're not able to turn on the TV and start zapping around. That takes some getting used to. That's strange. You really have to think about what you're going to watch. And that's a bit of quality control. But you don't get commercials anymore. And man, only now we start to notice that when we go to friends' houses and the TV is on, we just gawk at the TV and go like, my God, this is one hell of a noisy, crappy way to spend your evening. And here at home, it's much calmer. We don't get forced to buy stuff anymore. I don't see washing powder and in the aisle at the supermarket and go like, oh my God, I have to buy that, because I don't have any ads on TV. And I am used to watching a movie and a show from beginning to end. That's it. Computing is also different for me. I even started using my Raspberry Pi because it's so minimalistic and it makes me, you know, kind of focus on what I'm doing. And if you try to run an instant messaging program and a word processor and a browser at the same time, the thing melts down. So you have to focus on one thing. Even the Raspberry Pi has been a very interesting desktop, separating out communication, consumption, and creation across three different devices, something that is also really, really worked for me. For once, I can watch a TV show on my tablet without being interrupted by ads or by an instant message from Cousin Vinny saying, hey, what's up? So yeah, that kind of helps. The last thing that we did is we also kind of changed the way we communicate. As I said, we already firewalled out a lot of non-essential communications. We have also kind of unsubscribed from people that are not interesting anymore or that annoy us. We take off our wearables when we are at home. I take my smartwatch off when I'm at home. I don't want to sit on the couch and have buzzes interrupting me when it's not important. When it's important, it will ring, and if not, it won't. We don't use connected devices in the bedroom. I know when I wrote this one down in the show notes, I thought, okay, 10 of you are going to giggle. You know what? Grow up. What I want to say is I don't want to have that information stream and that, you know, because information also has emotions in it. You know, every post is about something. Every article is about something. Every news article is about something. Any interaction with somebody carries a certain emotion, makes you feel some way. In the bedroom, no, it's a place of zen. It's a place of calm. I just want to read my book and not be triggered by whatever's happening. So no bing on the chat room, on the bedroom. No way. And the other thing that we have started to notice, and I do have to warn you, is that you get a cultural shift. Because, and this is tricky, we don't watch what other people watch on TV. We don't listen to the radio we don't listen to radio shows in the morning that other people listen to. So we have our cleaning lady, and she's an adorable girl, and she comes in and she starts talking about, you know, this TV show, that and that, and that TV show, that and that, and on the radio they said this and this, and in the movies, at the cinema I went to watch that and that. And we just gawk at her like she's from a different planet, because we don't know, neither do we care. We make our own selection, and sometimes we miss out on things. But you know, yeah, we're weirdos that way, but it's a lot calmer here. And when we start talking about stuff that we listen to, she looks at us and by default, she says, it's probably not available in this country yet, is it? And we're like, no, it's not. And the second thing she says is, it's probably in English, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's probably about computers, isn't it? Yes, it is. And, you know, we learn from each other, but you get a cultural shift. That is very noticeable when you talk to people who have mainstream TV and watch mainstream media, because you don't know what they're talking about. And when you encounter mainstream TV and mainstream media, because then you go like, oh my God, what's this? So that's really, really funny. So be aware of cultural shift. But personally, I've found a little bit more peace. I have had a very hard time with fear on missing out, being afraid that I didn't get all the latest buzz and trends. I was missing out on the news, especially with the whole tech news that I wanted to keep abreast with. But I do have more time to think things through. And one of the things I started doing is I taught myself how to knit. I did it because I wanted to do something with my hands while I was listening to audiobooks. But I've also found that when I'm not listening to audiobooks and just the music, doing something with your hands, and knitting was something I could teach myself, but it can also be painting the ceiling or doing gardening or doing something manual, really helps you to think things through getting away from the screen. Don't laugh that I'm knitting. I knit 4 hats last December, and I gave them to homeless people, and they were nice and warm. So you go try that. So yeah, I really like that. I also enjoy the smaller things in life more, sit with the dog and stuff. It's not that I'm unplugging and becoming Amish or something, but it's just that there's a little bit of a middle ground between being overconnected and, you know, going to live in a cave somewhere. I guess the essence is you need to let technology work for you and know when you are starting to work for technology and, you know, just remember who's boss. And that's all we have time for this week on Nightwise.com, KW906, Cyber Zen. I know that you're used to hearing a different track when we do the outro, but today it is not Sisumi's by Planet Bulex. We are playing Tangerine Dream's Roaring of the Bliss, and that in honor of their producer, Edgar Foes, who died age 70 this week. I used to be a DJ for 8 years, and every time we closed out a big party, we for some reason started using this track as our final track. So today, in honor of the great work and the great man that was Edgar Eller Foes, producer of Tangerine Dream, we're gonna go with Roaring of the Bliss one more time to close down this episode of Nightwise.com. You know where to reach us, www.knighthwise.com.
Been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.